podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Where's the worst place you've ever gotten a cramp? It can happen in places that, you know, are private, I guess. And sometimes that can be okay because you can be at home and you can scream, ah. If you've ever had cramp in your foot or your leg or whatever, like, it's actually scary because you don't know what you're going to do.
Well, I thought you were, when you first asked, I thought you meant, like, where on your body? I've had a really bad one, but then I realised you meant geographically, so I don't need to tell you the story. It's fine.
No, you can, because we're talking about anywhere on the body. Although my friend did have a cramp in the middle of dinner at Alma Restaurant here in town, which is quite a lovely restaurant.
Fancy establishment.
It is, and that is not something that you want. And his partner was like, oh, not the best time to have a cramp.
Yeah.
Because he was like,
The food's just so good. Caleb in Thompson, where did you have your cramp, mate?
Mine wasn't out in the public, but it was at home. But it was like late at night, similar to Loggy's, but I was in bed, but then I had to get up. And then, you know, like they tell you to stretch it out on one side.
Yeah.
So I stretch one side out and then the other side goes.
No!
It was both in my legs, so just in like my upper thigh. So when I was trying to stretch that one out, the other one went and I'm crawling around on the ground crying.
Yeah, okay. So, Caleb, Tom thinks that people are sooks if they scream when they get a leg cramp. But
I just think hold it together. Be an
adult. But you can't. It's so painful, isn't it, Caleb?
Well, I don't think Tom's actually had a real one.
Yeah.
Okay. Or he does enough to get one.
Yeah. That's
it's one of those things
fair.
That if you haven't had one, if you think you haven't had one, then you probably haven't had one. It's one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a panic attack.
You don't know until you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've definitely had a cramp, you turds.
As of from Hamlin Heights, where's the worst place you've got a cramp, mate?
Most people have had cramps, arms, legs, hands, whatever, you know, that sort of stuff. My partner turns around to me one night. I've got a cramp. And of course, I'm thinking hand, leg, whatever.
Yeah.
Nope. She had a cramp in her butt cheek.
Oh.
Butt cheek cramp. I reckon I've had this before.
I've never heard of it. Who gets a cramp in their butt cheek? Like, of all places.
See, I've been told I don't have a firing butt. So I don't have a firing ass, like my ass doesn't fire. So I remember having to do exercises to increase that muscle. So maybe she's got a firing butt and she got a cramp.
Maybe she's just clenched at all times. Does she seem to be the sort to be clenched at all times there, Azza?
I don't know what she's doing with it, but she's never had a butt cramp.
How did you alleviate that one for her, Azza?
Did you offer?
I was just stunned. I didn't do anything. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, the romance is gone.
I think you've got to get an elbow in it, is my understanding.
Yeah.
I don't want to force any type of lifestyle on anyone.
No, true. Hey, thanks for that. As Matt from Kerr Lewis has called through. Matt, you're live on the air. Where was your inopportune cramp, my friend?
Well, mine was a location, but out at 13th Beach, back in the day, bodyboarding. With the flippers on, and you get a cramp in the calf, and you basically bobbing up and down in the water. You can't kick to keep yourself up, and you're trying to get down and hold the end of your flipper and stretch it out at the same time and watch for the waves coming. So there's a little bit to take on board at that time. I think that's the worst place.
Did anyone come out to help you? Were they just like, oh, that's a guy that knows what he's doing out there, clearly.
Yeah, he's flapping around.
Yeah, they were just thought it was a new move or something, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I have heard about you, actually. Yeah. The flapper from 13th Beach.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
A very interesting sport is about to hit the Yu-Yangs, Loggy.
Yeah, it's the fastest growing dog sport related with humans, right? So if you think about dog sports, you think about sledding.
Yes.
Right? Where it's like it's snow and the dogs are there and you're on the sled and you go along. But this one involves the dog running attached to you at the hip.
Yes. sounds terrifying. And to tell us more is Canny Cross competitor Jess Hercott. She joins us on the line now. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, guys.
Now, it is sort of the fastest growing dog-powered sport, but I haven't heard of this, even though Canny Cross Melbourne are hosting their sixth race. It's going to be Wild Tales at the Yu Yangs at the end of August. You're a part of this community. So how does it work?
To be honest, I was pretty new to it as well. But once you get into it, like, you're hooked. But the idea is, yeah, it is a part of the dryland sledding competitions. So, like, you go, a lot of these events you go to, and there can be other classes as well. So you can have a dog pulling you around on a bike, or a dog pulling you around on a scooter, or up to like teams of eight dogs pulling you around on this like little cart thing. But yeah, Canny Cross is the one that I've gotten stuck with, and I think just because it's so accessible, like, you don't need that much gear. It's just you running with your best friend, and that's basically how I got into it. I had this, he's a German short-haired pointer across Kelpie, and he just has too much energy.
Yeah.
And so I was running with him just to get rid of some of that energy. And so he didn't destroy the house. Just started popping up in my in my feed that it was a thing. So I got in touch with some clubs, and here we are.
Jess, anyone who's ever walked a decent sized dog will know that the pull is pretty strong. So I find it horrifying the idea of not being able to let go of the lead when they bolt, and you're just actually tied to the dog. How do you keep up?
I guess you, like, my pace has definitely gotten quicker. From this last season to this season, and you've got attached to you, there's a bungee line in between you, so it takes a bit of the shock out as well. But you also train the dogs, so they've got voice commands, so that, you know, you can teach them to slow down, or they'll know their lefts and rights, and stuff like that. It's a teamwork sport.
Well, look, the other thing that's a bit of a worry is that my dog is a red heeler, so same sort of variety, you know, Kelpie as you've got as well, and their brains are so smart. He's not as well trained, though, as your dog, I imagine. And if I took him to the Yuyangs and he saw a kangaroo or something, he'd be gone and I'd be dragged down the mountain. How do you know that the dogs won't do that? They'll see something shiny or tasty and sort of run off.
Oh, you definitely get a kangaroo boost, that's for sure. you go up a gear when you see a kangaroo quite often, or birds. It can be good and bad. Like, it depends how well you can tell your dog not to chase it. But there are times when you get dragged off a little bit. But it's all part of, conditioning them and practice. And the more times you do it, the better they'll get. But, yeah. It happens.
Do they ever crack the shits when it's go time and just not run?
Oh, sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes the pressure will get to them, or there'll also be some dogs that froth it, and they'll be so fast out of the chute, and then other dogs are like, yeah, I'm just here for my, my Sunday stroll kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, and that's the good thing, it kind of caters for everyone. There'll be people doing races with their sausage dog, and I'm there with my, my 30-kilo hound. Yeah.
Do you ever see anyone having to carry their dog and just run?
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. But
so is this a sport that anyone can get in? Like this event, August 30 at the Yuyangs, can people sign up for that if they're thinking, oh, my God, I want to do what Jess does with her dog? Is it as easy as that?
It is a good idea to come to an intro event first, because the dogs have to have a special harness. With so many dogs near each other, you want to, know how to pass safely and stuff like that. But once you've got, the right fitting gear, a lot of the races are posted up on the Facebook page, and it's as easy as that. You just sign up from there.
You're going overseas for the International Canny Cross Federation World Championships in November. Are you both going, or are you just going to borrow a dog when you get there?
Just borrowing a dog when we get there.
Yeah, right.
It's bit tricky to take the dogs
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah.
Although,
yeah.
You know, on Virgin flights now, I think you can fly over. Well, it's probably just domestic, isn't it?
Can you imagine running up and down the aisle, though, like a 12-hour flight? I had no idea there was such a range of different things you could be pulled along by a dog on. Is there an event where you could just sit on, like, a Macca's tray or something and they just pull you along?
There's one in, there's an on snow one called Polka, and maybe that'd be similar.
Similar? I might be a polka guy.
Oh, I think you're a polka guy, Tom, I'm for sure. Polka. Jess Hercott, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best in Canny Cross and all your adventures, both here and overseas.
Oh, thank you so much, guys.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Smith's Chips, mate. 95 years in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah. And to celebrate, they've done a survey.
Oh, okay.
Love it.
Survey says.
As they've surveyed more than 1,000 Australians. And the overall headline is, while we're embracing more casual entertaining, there's still plenty of hosting and guest behaviours guaranteed to spark debate.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I'll give you a little idea here. Actually, let's welcome Tony from Cariah. Morning, Tone.
Morning, guys. How are we today?
Good. Why are you on the phone?
I thought that I might be the one.
Ah, okay.
And I'm still here, so maybe I am the one.
Well, you're here now, so you're going to play.
Yeah.
But the headline is, that's the headline we've already done, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a few scenarios, and you guys are going to have to guess what percentage of people do this thing.
Okay.
Right, and it's all around entertaining. I'm going to play some background music. Tony, shout out if this makes it hard for you to hear, all right? What percentage of Australians actually bring nothing when told don't bring anything to a barbecue or a dinner or...
Okay. I think there's definitely people like you, Tom, that thinks bring nothing means I don't need to bring anything.
Hey, I bring beers for myself.
Yeah, for yourself. I'm going to say 32% of people.
Okay, Loggy says 32. What say you, Tone?
I reckon Loggy's overshot it by a margin.
Yeah.
The Australian public is way too friendly to come empty-handed all the time.
Yeah.
I reckon we're sitting at about 8%.
8%. Now, working on the policy of closest to without going over, Tony, you're correct.
Oh!
15% of Australians actually bring nothing when told don't bring anything. Now, what percentage of that 15% get invited back next time? Zero.
Oh, you reckon?
No,
is that official?
No, that's
no,
not
I was
official.
Gonna
I'm
say,
just,
surely
I'm
not.
Ad-libbing there, but
they just
not...
get bitched about behind
yeah.
their backs.
Yeah. All right, so then it makes sense that if 15% of Australians actually bring nothing, then 85% turn up with something, whether it's snacks, drinks, or homemade contributions.
You're in that 15%, Tom. Are
no,
you in
I'm
that 15%
not.
Tone?
No, I reckon Tom definitely brings beers.
Absolutely.
For himself.
I've seen his beer collection. Yeah, He's definitely got a beer under the arm.
Yeah. No, thank you, Tony.
For himself.
Very rude. Loggy would never know. We don't socialise. So. Okay, what percentage of people say that asking guests to pay for food at a casual gathering is a major faux pas? So it's a no-no to ask guests to pay for the food.
So you've invited me
and
then I have to pay.
Yeah.
No, I'd say 95%.
Log says 95%
because
of people
if you're gonna
say
have
that's
something,
on the nose.
If you're going to have something, nah, you're having something and you're providing.
Tone?
I reckon it's high. I reckon about 75%.
75. Okay, you did hear Loggy say 95, yeah? So 90, you say 95, she says 75. All right, it's actually 52% of people say asking guests to pay for. So 48% of Australians think that it's okay to ask for people, which is why my mate one time, when we were coming over for a barbecue, he's like, can you bring a kilo of sausages? And I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, nah, because none of you are Macedonian. There's not enough Macedonians here.
Do I still have to come?
That is terrible. And the snags that you bought were frozen and there were only three of them.
No, that's a different time.
Oh, right. Multiple offender.
No, I went to the butcher's. Okay. What about licking your fingers from a shared bowl? What percentage of people say it's unacceptable to lick your fingers after eating from a shared bowl and, I guess, go back for more?
Yeah, I'm going to say, once again, I think that is truly putrid. And I'm going to say a lot of people would feel the same way, 98%. I would hope so. I would hope so.
What say you, Tone?
I'm going to swoop in for the steal on Loggy here. I'm going to say 99%.
Oh. 99%.
Like, that just, you can't do it.
Yeah, I don't mind about double dipping, as much as if you lick your fingers, nah, I'm not going back into that bowl.
Yeah, I know. You have a real issue with double dipping, or that sort of behaviour. Unfortunately, you've both gone over. 51% say licking your fingers from a shared bowl is unacceptable.
Nah, they have no idea. Who are these thousand people?
I don't know.
Seriously.
I don't know. All right. So what about double dipping? Let's just quickly touch on double dipping. What percentage of people say double dipping is not on?
I would say that a lot of people think double dipping is on. So I would say roughly, 72%.
72%. And Tone?
I reckon 41.
41. Well, Tony, finally come through with the goods because where's your little dinger hanging? Congratulations. 47% of people say that double dipping is not on. So 53% of people out there think that it's okay to double dip. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
Animals. All right, and let's wrap it with who prefers, how many people, what percentage of people prefer smaller, more intimate gatherings than larger sort of barbecues?
I'd say this has definitely changed in COVID time. Something a bit more relaxed. Although a big party is fun, I'm going to go 78% of people prefer it.
78? Yeah. Okay. And Tone, what say you? What percentage of people prefer a small
I reckon game? A lot of people lie to themselves about this. So I reckon it's only like 30%.
30%, he says.
All right. Survey says...
Tone's done it again. 44% prefer smaller, more intimate gatherings than a big barbecue. So, Tone, well done,
well
mate.
Well done. You are the one.
You are the one.
I knew it.
And you've won yourself the right to come to my next barbecue. Loggy is not invited.
Oh, no.
Beautiful.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggy, say thanks.
It's time to talk footy. Now, it feels like... almost a lifetime ago, we were talking about the Cats and concussion and thinking that that was going to be the biggest story of 2026 AFL season. Clearly no longer the case.
No, it's no longer the case. And I will preface this by saying the best source of information is to keep listening to AJ's news updates because throughout the morning, the Sydney Swans and the AFL no doubt will give an update. The Sydney Swans board has been meeting, I think, late into the night. There were reports that the Swans board was going to hand down sanctions to the players involved late last night. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but I'm assuming it will happen throughout the morning. So continue to listen to the news updates with AJ. Obviously, it's a huge story from a football story, but more importantly, it's what has alleged to have happened and is being reported has happened. It's just awful for the females involved, and that's where our thoughts need to be first and foremost.
Absolutely,
we are within the football industry. We are quick to start speculating about the ramifications of what this means for finals and everything like that.
Swans, what's it going to mean for their premiership tilt? Who cares?
That's right. That can't be first and foremost in what is in people's minds. That whatever happens with that will happen with that. But obviously, right now, and this is where. I can't say much, you can't, Tommy, or you log, because we need the police to do the investigation, to do it properly, and for if they are guilty parties, if for the guilty parties to be held absolutely accountable regardless of whether they kick a footy round an oval, and that is what I assume is happening and hope is happening. At the same time as all of that, the Sydney Swans have acknowledged that there has been a major breach in their expected standards. So they aren't talking legal there. Mm-hmm. That is the police side of it. But even they have accepted, the Swans, that that will take its course. But even from the standards we expect from our players, there has been a serious breach. And it sounds like there will be a punishment handed down by the Swans immediately. And then the legal process takes place over from that stage. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning as well the women in this story, because it was very emotional for me as a woman as well. And I know you guys feel the same way, that when the story comes out, it is, oh, the footy, what does this mean? I don't care about any of that. You've got survivors at the heart of this story.
Yeah.
And these are people who are now dealing, allegedly, with what happened to them, and also knowing that everybody is talking about it and it is all over the news. And you've got to understand that this is, I couldn't even imagine the pain that that would bring with it. And I feel like people who live and breathe the AFL forget that. And sports in general, it's like, oh, if a sports player does this, blah, blah, blah. No, this should never happen ever, ever. And I just want to say that we really feel for the women in this story.
Yeah,
and
our welfare.
Our thoughts are with them. And it's just, I mean, even the partners of the players, they're on the front page of the newspapers.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, look at their partners and everything. And it's like the women are really copping it.
And it's not.
And it really angers me.
Yeah. And sorry to cut you off there, Log. And it's not just in the mainstream media where you're right, it's constant. It is also some of the viciousness that's living online and social media and the things that are being shared around and the comments and all of that. It is swirling with such a horrible, horrible tinge to it. So you're absolutely right in everything that you've just said.
It's quite frequently, I've said this to you many times before, embarrassing to be a man when you see that stuff going on and then you see the rhetoric around it. It's just appalling. Can I just say, sorry, just Lingy, you might have some insight into this. So this is something that has happened. Situations like this have unfolded at various points through the history of, I guess, sports in general, but football as a game, right? And we've seen things happen, and it's been maybe almost 20 years since we've probably had a really egregious case of players just being like this, right? So you'd think that maybe times have changed. And, you know, professional sports have gotten to a level where these are elite sports people and their focus is the game, and they realise that they're such, you know, upstanding examples of whatever in the community, they're role models and whatnot. Is there a subculture? Should we be concerned about the culture of football and what goes on behind closed hotel doors?
So part of me wants to jump to the defence straight away, as you're saying that, because I say, well, hang on, what about some of the people that I've known throughout this time who are just one, are they exactly as you describe and wouldn't be involved in this and are wonderful people. So there is that defensive mechanism of me just going, hang on, no, there's still great people in the football industry. However, you're right. I would have thought it's improved. There's more education. There's a better understanding. There's themed rounds in the AFL to support this and to support that. But then something like this can still happen, and it goes that, well, you know what? It's not as probably good as what we think it is. It still comes down to the individual and the choices that the individual makes within a group culture. But so many make great decisions and are wonderful people. Sadly, there are some who think that this behaviour must be okay or must be tolerable or whatever it might be. So, it is a fair question to ask, Tommy. I'll always say there's lots of good in football clubs and football environments, but it makes me doubt it too when you go, God, surely we know better. Surely... this is just awful, horrible. And the legal stuff will take its course, and they will get the punishment they deserve, I hope. It's a fair question to ask, that maybe that idea of we're so much better educated and we understand more and we wouldn't act like this anymore is maybe not the answer. So, fair to ask it. I agree.
What else don't we know about? That's what I want to know.
It's the Tom and Loggy podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
Cameron Ling in the studio, and we have had to get you a tea towel to sort out that saliva that's drooling everywhere.
Yes. When we were talking about this last week, were we? But Kim from Bellpost Hill has very, very kindly sent in a box of shapes, a combination barbecue pizza shapes. Now, just a quick question before I open it. Are we calling this bizza or pizza?
Pizza. It's got to be like pizza. It's
That's
like
what
pizza.
I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pizza shapes. Pizza shapes. A combination of barbecue and pizza shapes. Now, by the looks of the box, Tommy, you're going to help me on this one.
Yes, I'll try.
They are pizza shaped. You know, the shape of the pizza.
Pizza shapes. Yep.
But I'm told reliably that it is both toppings on top.
Yeah. I'm interested in what's at the bottom of the bag.
You grab a little handful as well.
Got a few here.
Grab a couple there.
Gosh, I've dropped some. There we go. Well done, me. Okay, so to look at They look very barbecue shapey. So the seasoning is the more prominent because it's got the green.
Yeah, all right, I'm going to... You go first.
Okay.
Don't wait for me, Tom. It's all right. Nah. It wasn't about me at all.
Do you know what I love? Eating sounds on the radio.
Yeah, I know. Just to disgust everybody as they're driving along.
If I close my eyes, I can imagine I'm eating a pizza shape, but I can also close my eyes and imagine I'm eating a barbecue shape at the same time.
My argument, though, right now is I am getting total barbecue shape flavour.
Are you?
Are you still getting pizza shape?
Mm.
Good radio, I know, when we both have a mouthful at the exact same time, Tom.
I do agree that the barbecue is the dominant flavour, but I think I can...
Okay, but would you prefer... Are you a pizza-shaped guy or a barbecue-shaped guy?
Barbecue.
Okay, you're a bit weird. But for those of you out there who love pizza shapes, first and foremost, like I do, adding the barbecue, the strength of the barbecue flavour over the top of the pizza just seems to drown it out.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, there's no complaints. Kim, by the way,
shoves more in his mouth.
Big thank you. That was a really good flavour one.
Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and give my rating.
Yep.
Maybe it is because I'm a barbecue-shaped guy, but I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Eight out of 10.
Why have you dropped it down a couple? What's wrong with it?
Well, it can't be perfect. I'd like them to be bigger. They're quite small.
Oh, because barbecue shapes are bigger.
They are.
Yeah.
Because they're hexagonal.
Mm. Yep.
Octagonal.
You're hexagonal. Look at your head.
I am total pizza-shaped man, so I think the... overwhelming flavour of the barbecue shape is taking away a little bit from my pizza shape experience.
Right, okay.
So I'm only at about a seven out of ten. But what I would be prepared, if we moved on quickly, to give a 10 out of 10 is the leftover flavouring at the bottom of this bag.
Yeah.
I will drink it straight and love every second of it.
Right. Thanks again to Kim for bringing in the pizza shapes.
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
Okay, sometimes when you're in and off air in the songs, there's a bit of trivia that goes on because we're trivia people.
Yeah,
right?
I love it.
And so I was just about to ask this. We haven't gotten your answer yet. Tom and I have been fighting about something off air. So let's bring it to the table, right? The trivia for The Daily... Right. So the Daily Australian, they send out, they've got a podcast and everything, but they send out an email every day. It's a newsletter, right? And so I subscribe to that. And their trivia question today is, only one Australian film currently sits among the 50 highest grossing films ever at the Australian box office. Which one?
Big Aussie movies, highest grossing of all time, top 50. Well, before you give your answer... We've already discussed our answers, but my answer is Wolf Creek.
He said Wolf Creek. And then.
I doubt that.
Why?
Yeah.
I said, did you get it correct?
I said Moulin Rouge.
Okay, good. That's not the one. Neither of those. I was worried you two were going to say the one.
No, well, we don't know. One. We don't know the answer
yet.
Oh,
you don't know the answer?
We don't know the answer
What's
yet.
What's trivia without an answer?
No,
she's
I got have
the answer,
answer,
but she hasn't read it yet.
But
you're waiting for me.
See how Lingy didn't jump then down my throat when I gave my answer of Moulin Rouge?
Do you like Moulin Rouge?
No, I love Moulin Rouge. I do not think it's an Australian movie. Just because Baz Luhrmann directed it doesn't make it an Australian movie. Do you know what's an Australian Baz Luhrmann movie? Australia.
Yes, that's also an option.
But hang on. If it's out of an Australian director and
it was filmed in Australia.
Australian production company, I think, as well.
Yeah.
It makes an Australian movie.
And there's an Australian
in the lead.
I think it's an Australian movie.
No, it's not
an Australian
story.
Do you only class
it
if it's filmed in Australia?
It was filmed in Australia.
Yeah, but sorry, like is like set in
has
Australia.
It has to be an all Australian production.
And it literally has the name Australia.
No, it can't have
Wolf Creek is Australian because it's depicted in Australia. Is that what you're saying?
It's all Australian actors, a whole Australian production.
So is Apex an Australian movie?
Is that filmed in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, Charlize Theron's in it, so there you go.
Okay, but hang on.
See?
Go back in time to the great Peter Weir movie. Gallipoli.
Yeah.
Is an Australian movie.
Yeah, because it's an Australian production.
Yeah, but that's a full
Australian
movie.
No, it isn't.
He's just being facetious.
You're being a tool.
Let's see. Okay, well, what's your answer then, tool?
Okay, my answer, which I know is correct.
Yeah?
Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
Good answer.
Good answer.
Ah, thank
Homer,
you.
Though, like, just go the local reference.
Yeah, but what, because it was filmed in Fairhaven.
And out back a little
so
river.
Can I just confirm? Sorry. Moulin Rouge is an Australian film, right? Same killing.
So is Gallipoli, despite being set in Turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and
thank
partially
God.
In Australia.
Is Days of Thunder an Australian movie? Because Nicole Kidman's in it.
Ah, you are.
Anyway, so.
Infuriating.
Does everyone want the actual answer?
Yes, please.
Okay, the answer is, I am correct. It is an Australian film.
Really? Are you sure about that?
If you Google it, it's an Australian production. But the real answer is Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, of course.
I know.
That's so obvious. Idiot.
So obvious. See, Thomas is that,
hang on, that's,
Googling
hang on,
it.
That's not an Australian movie because it ends
it's
in
set
New
in
York
America.
City.
Yeah.
No, can't
find anything to say that it's an Australian movie.
100%. Google. Is Moulin Rouge considered an Australian film? And it comes up, yes.
Well, you've just Googled and said, you said if you Google is Moulin Rouge an Australian movie, what comes up is yes.
Yes.
Which is not true.
It is. It's officially classed as an Australian-American co-production, though it is heavily identified and celebrated as an Australian film.
No, where does it say that?
On the internet.
Moulin Rouge is a 2001 Australian-American pseudo-pastiche jukebox musical film directed, produced and co-written by Baz Luhrmann. Australian-American, it's not just Australian.
Did you listen to the end of the sentence that I had? It's an Australian-American co-production, though it is heavily identified and celebrated as an Australian film.
Yeah, I hear you.
Surprise, surprise, you only took out of that sentence exactly what backed up your opinion.
No, surprise, surprise, I didn't get to the end of what she was saying. I tuned out halfway.
Well, that's offensive, and I'll be telling Baz. I'm messaging him right now. No, hey, you made me get Luhrmann on your ass, and that's what I'm going to do right now.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I made that happen.
Baz!
No, I know.
No,
you've tried to get Baz on the show before, Annie, and we were unsuccessful.
Is Muriel's Wedding an Australian movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's got Toni Collette in it, mate, of course.
It's not just because
everything
of the
with
actor.
Toni Collette in
what
it is
other
Australian
movies
movie.
Are there?
Strictly Ballroom.
Strictly Ballroom's an Aussie movie.
The Sixth Sense.
Oh my God! Here's a game. This is a game. You just hit me with movies. I'll tell you whether they're Aussie or not. Here's
Avatar.
Mabel. Avatar. Well,
Australian actor and recorded in Australia.
Yeah.
But see how James Cameron's an American director,
he is,
so it doesn't really.
So no, it doesn't
so that's
no,
so
it's,
so
it's no.
So yes, exactly.
Not, Avatar's not Australian.
So we agree on that.
Yeah.
So then Moulin Rouge then
is not an Australian movie either. Doesn't it's not just about the
Wingy,
director.
Can I just say I miss you so much. it's
an
got
American.
An Australian director, an Australian lead actress, Australian cast members, Australian crew,
production
and
company.
Was
yep.
recorded in Australia.
Well, let's see what AJ says.
AJ,
you've gone
tread carefully, my
to
friend.
The legislation.
There is legislation in this country as to what constitutes Australian content.
Oh.
Producer Baz Luhrmann, director Baz Luhrmann, cast includes Nicole Kidman, supporting cast includes Richard Roxburgh.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, it hits every single trigger and is classified as Australian content.
Hey!
AJ with the final word, Tommy.
Waltzing Matilda.
On your bike, Tommy boy.
Stop that. Really, really glad we welcomed you back into the conversation there, AJ.
Tom and Loggie. That was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.